You get back from vacation and boom, you got VBS. And it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of energy. I will tell you, I got home each night and I was like, I'm tired, right? Just watching those on the stage, right? I don't know about you, like, there was years in my life, and now as a senior pastor, I think about it too, and I'm like, oh, that's expensive. Don't hit that, right? But also the other part is like, what's going to happen this morning? When you have kids on stage, I love it. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what move can be done. There was a boy up here, Isaiah. I love him to death. He does that double jump kick, and I'm thinking, could I get up there and do that? Probably not. Not this morning. I like my hamstrings. I don't want to pull them. But man, I would just die to have some of their energy, right? Right? To get up and just be like, this world is brand new. And look at it the way they look at it. Like, there's no boundaries for them in some ways. And that can be scary, right? But at the same time, it's also this chance of discovery, right? And I think about that in terms of our relationship with God. To think about it in those terms with God, that we approach God with those same eyes of going, man, there's a new world in which we are called to. To think about our faith as a child. That it's boundless of what God can do through you. And sitting at VBS, just seeing those kids and living the life, and they're like, they don't necessarily care what anybody thinks about them, right? They're going through the halls, choo-choo, off the walls, yeah, right? This is what a train does, off the tracks, back on the tracks, we're good. Imagine living faith that way with God going, ha, all right, God, you want me to do this? Let's do it. Because in reality, like, I don't know if you, we've sung this song, Reckless Love. And a lot of people think, okay, God's not reckless with his love. But in reality, to our world that we live, he kind of is. He recklessly loves you and has called you to live the same way. According to this world, we are wanting to be safe. We want to be like, okay, everything's okay. Now I can give you a little peace because then it's okay. But in reality, God calls you to give everything. Imagine living recklessly, knowing that God's got this. Knowing that you can go up to a friend, hey, God loves you, without any kind of hesitation. And them going, what drugs are you on today? You take your pills this morning, right? But in reality, no, I just spent time in prayer, I spent time in word, and I realize what God has in store for me, and he needs you. He wants you. And I'm here with that message. Whew. And I get to share it. Right? And it's not on a Sunday, it's on the Monday, it's on the staff meetings, it's on the, with patience and co-workers in home. Imagine going home and actually going, you know what, God changed my life this morning, and I actually love you. Right? And I want to put you first. And I want you to know God loves you. I think some of us needed to hear that this morning. I think in reality is, God loves you, and we could end the sermon right there and go, okay, let's go to lunch. But I want you to honestly believe it, that God loves you. And that's the message. And I could end it right there, but I want to tell you that it's not done. You have to sit through this. Good. Got one. All right. One person is excited. I want you to know that we have been meeting as a board, and we have decided what our mission and vision is, and it's been this way for a while, but we just have now, for me, hammered it down because I'm slow, all right? I'm slow at catching on things. I'm slow. That's just who I am, right? But we are going to be a church that connects, grows, and serves, that we connect people to God, that we grow deeper in our relationship with God, and we serve each other and others for God. That's who we're going to be as a church. All right? I want you, when you leave here every week, I want you to think about every week, how am I connecting to people? How am I connecting them to Jesus? How am I growing this week? And have I served Jesus this week? In this next couple of months, we're going to go through each of those intently. And guess what? We're starting with connect. And this is what we're going to look like. And this is all the emblems that it's going to go with, right? And we're going to go with this. And this is connect. And I want to start with our whole mission statement is from Matthew, okay? Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says this, therefore go. I'm going to stop right there. It doesn't say therefore sit. It doesn't say therefore relax. It doesn't say therefore, you know, be idle. It doesn't say therefore wait. It says therefore go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, the part that we really focus on is teaching them to obey everything we command you. But we first got to start with therefore go. It's very vital that we are a church on the go. And when I say that, it doesn't mean that you run out of here right now and just leave and, all right, lunch, right? Which I'm hungry, so I'll try to cut it quick. Just kidding. That was for Logan. Anyway, he's hungry too, he told me. Yeah, oh, I love it. All right, all right. We are called to go, but go where is the question, right? And I'm going to tell you, this is one of those moments that I look to Jesus and we find that where, and where does connection start? And it's a simple question, right? Where does connection start? And it starts with relationships. John 4, 4 through 26 says this. All right, I'm going to give you the Ben version this morning. It is the Samaritan woman that he has, that Jesus sits down at the well. You can look it up. You can follow as I go along. If I mess it up, let me know. Email me. I'm not going to tell you my email because I don't have it memorized, but just call Peg. She can give it to you. All right? It goes like this. Jesus was, he was traveling, and he had been doing ministry for a while, and he was tired. And he comes across this little town, and it's in Samaria, and there's this well, and it's a famous well. It's Jacob's well. All right? And he decides, all right, it's noontime. Nobody goes to the well at noon. It's the peak hour. It's hot. They usually go to the well early in the morning, or you go to the well at night, right? Those are the times to go to the well, right? And there's a couple things as I read this story that really highlighted for me the first time. He didn't go with a bucket. Now, then you went with a bucket. The bucket didn't just sit there. There wasn't a rope there or all these things. It was just a well. So you brought your own rope. You brought your own bucket. And do you think this was by mistake? No, Jesus didn't make mistakes. He knew. He knew what he was really going to the well for. All right? He didn't go with a bucket. He ran into a Samaritan woman. And she was walking up to go get water at noon, too, for a reason why she was walking there. She was one of those ones in town that was looked down upon. She made a lot of choices in her life that were not good, healthy choices, and then caused her to have a reputation to probably be treated and ostracized from their people, all right? And so it was easier to go to the well at that time because guess what? Nobody was at the well. She wouldn't have to confront people. Anybody have that in their life? You're like, hey, I'm going to go there at this time because there's less people at that, right? We eat like at 5 when we go out to eat. I love the old people. All right? All right? The moment we started having kids and like toddlers and we would go out to eat, we're like, no, that busy hour is not fun. 7 o'clock is not fun with little ones if we go out to eat. Let's go with the you know, and you would see their faces when we come in. Oh, no. It was going to be a nice, peaceful dinner. Right? And so, no, they had to deal with the Alexanders coming in and invading their time. But I loved it. We got in right away. We got our food right away. We get out, and I'd be hungry by 9 p.m. again. Right? So that's how it went. I love going to a grocery store when there's nobody there. Right? It's so in and out. Now I live in the world of just putting my order in, and they drop it in my car, and then I go, and never taking another step into Walmart. No offense to Walmart people, all right, or any of that. I just love being able to have that moment of not ever having to take the step in there if I don't have to, right? I don't know what it is. My heart starts to beat faster. I'm like, I just want to run people over with the cart. It starts to become a weapon, right? I'm like, God, hold my heart, all right? Right? This was the Samaritan woman. Like, she didn't want to run into anybody. And Jesus looks at her and goes, okay, hey, can you get me some water? Can you get me some? And she looked at him, and her first words were, do you not know who I am? You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. We don't talk. You look down upon us, and I'm a female. You think I'm less than you. Why are you talking to me? And he looked at her and goes, if you only knew who was talking to you, your water, because it would have made you never thirst again. And this is where my brain started kicking in, and she recognized it before I did. She saw it and goes, you don't even have a bucket. What are you talking about? You came here with nothing. What is this water that you're speaking of? How can I get this water? A couple things there, first off, that really changed my perspective when I think about it in connection. Jesus didn't go there to fill his actual thirst of his throat or his body. He went there to fill the thirst of his soul. And enabled to do that, he needed to connect with somebody that God needed him to connect with. The moments in my life I look back at that were big moments of like my spirit being moved, my life being like engaged with God intensely, are the moments that I had conversations with people about God and who God was, and them going, I've never heard it that way before. And God, me going, I've never been able to explain it this way before because God was moving through me. And I'm going to tell you right now, too, guess whose thirst was filled that moment? I don't know if theirs was. There are moments that I have come back. They've come back and said, man, God filled me up. And I want to tell them, I was filled up that day. I didn't need to eat anything. I didn't need to drink anything. My heart and my life was filled. Because why? Because I felt my purpose being used, and I felt life flowing through me. It is so easy, especially in our world that we live today, to have this relationship with God. It really is. It is one of those ones that we can separate time, we can pray with God, and we can read his word, and we can make it all about this, right? And the reality is this, I think God is saying yes. But in order for you to be truly fulfilled, I need you to be engaged with people that need to hear the words that I'm pouring into you. They need to know the love that you have. And when you store it up and you don't use it, you actually starve your spirit of opportunities to be engaged with God. Imagine taking the moment purposely through your week where you're, and he was on his job, he was working, he was traveling, he was doing stuff, and he took a moment and he sat down, he knew he was going to be engaging with somebody that needed his love, needed his words, needed his kindness, not to see the person for what the world saw her, but saw her as the person that God created her. And sat down and spent time with her, valued her, engaged, even put responsibility upon her, right? And he sat down and had a conversation. She sat down and had a conversation. And it was probably the most honest conversation this lady has ever encountered in her entire life. Imagine us being prepared for that. Engaging with people purposely, praying about it, waiting for it, looking for it, taking advantage of it. This is being a church that is connecting. Now, when I talk about connection, we will have events that is purposeful about connecting people with each other. We want to have events that we want people to come and be a part of our church family and have fun and smile and joy. And like VBS, it was a great connection this last week. It was. We connected on Jesus, we connected families, we connected people with faces, and we got to see Sunday school teachers that are like, hey, this is going to be your Sunday school. Like, it was just there, and we built relationships, right? We want those events. I also want the microcosms of us understanding within a church that you are called personally to go out and connect with somebody weekly. To understand there's a calling on your life to love people right where they're at in their life. To engage them at the well. That might mean that you are purposely going, okay, let's go have coffee this morning before work starts. That might mean you approach even your relationship with your husband, wife, whatever. Right? And you sit down and go, okay, before our day starts, let's connect. How are you? How can I love on you? How can I be there for you? How can I be praying for you? You know how much that will affect the other person on that relationship? To take that time to invest God in their life, to quench their thirst with God. That is connecting them with God. Imagine doing that with just a friend that you know they don't even believe that God is real or Jesus can't have that big of a role, or they think even if I walked into this sanctuary, I would be struck down or it would start to burn. And you need to let them know, absolutely not. First off, we are a hospital for the broken. We are the hospital for the wounded. We are the ones that come and invite everybody in and say, God loves you right where you're at. Yeah. Right? You look at Jesus in the encounter, he didn't say, yes, you're right, you're a Samaritan woman, get away from me. We laugh at that, but in all accounts, that would have been righteous back then. And I think there is some things in which we would probably encounter in our own prejudices that we have in our mind and our heart that have been installed in us that we have a hard time getting away from, that we go, if we honestly evaluated how we look at people, and we go, oh man, God, work on me. I need to love them better. I need to be more accepting, not of their lifestyle, of just the person that God has put me in front of. Like, look at the way Jesus, again, let me tell you again, Jesus would have been in his righteousness of that time to go, you're right, please move on, I'm at the well, you find another time. And we go, no, that's not right. You're right, it's not right, and therefore Jesus didn't do that. In fact, he sat down, had a conversation, and he learned about her. And he had the honest conversations. And I think those are those moments that are spirit-led. I think that you realize, too, in those moments that I need to be in tune with God. I need to be making sure I'm praying and I'm reading what God is putting in my life before I open my mouth ever. Because the next thing that he started to have a conversation was confronting her sin and the life that she was living. And so he was inviting, he was loving, he was caring, and all of a sudden she started engaging, and he goes, hey, why don't you bring your husband with me here? And she goes, I don't have a husband. And he goes, you're right, you've had five. And you're not even with the one you're on to the next one now. Can you imagine being confronted by that? She was, in that moment, probably had to be speechless. Probably going through, racing through her mind, who did he talk to? I haven't seen him walk through this town. Did it get posted? Was it on social media? What? How does he know? And I guarantee you, she probably went, how do you know this? And he just said, I know who you are. I want you to know there's a better way to live. I want you to know there's my way. I am the Savior. I am the one here. I am the great I am in front of you. And therefore, that's why I said, if you knew, if I asked you for water, you'd be begging me for mine. You would never thirst again. Imagine bringing that cup with you everywhere you went. Can you imagine honestly going to somebody and going, okay, you're never going to thirst again? To have that gift available for you, physically. Just up here, I'm getting parched thinking about it, right? But knowing that your soul is never going to yearn the way it yearns for what the emptiness is lying in. And I want you to know, if this morning you are sitting in this seat going, I have not said yes to Jesus, I have not had this encounter at the well, I want you to know, he is connecting with you right now. He wants you to know, he knows all your faults, he knows all the things that you struggle with, he knows your past and loves you despite that. He doesn't care about those things, he's willing to wash it clean and start over with you. That's what he offers. And he gives you new life. And what's awesome, like here, some of us, we probably are on that stage where we need to reconnect. We need to go and recommit our life to going, I have been living, I've decided, yes, long time ago that Jesus is the way, but lately, I kind of wanted my way. Lately, I've been ignoring what he's been saying. Lately, I've not wanted to go to the well. Because I know I'll be confronted. Lately, I have not wanted to connect. And I tell you what, I'm thirsty. And the stuff that I keep putting in me, the stuff that's not healthy, the stuff that I know that feeds me for a little bit, that I keep drawing myself back to, man, it's tempting, it's addictive, it's there. I can feel it, but the reality is not giving me life. And the life that I once had. Maybe you need to reconnect with Jesus at the well this week. Maybe even this morning. That he needs to sit there and he's talking to you and goes, hey, how about this in your life that you're struggling with? No, not your neighbor. No, not your parent. Not your spouse. You. This is what you've been struggling with. And you need to recommit. You need to ask for that cup that never you will never thirst again. See, the thing is, this cup, once you take in the presence of knowing Jesus is in your life. And it sustains you until the moment you walk out of that presence. That's the difference. You see, we have all the abilities to be in the presence of Jesus. He's always here, but it's our moments that we decide, oh, I'm going to walk away. And those are the moments we start seeking other areas to fill our souls with. And we become thirsty again. So, this story is amazing. This woman who's looked down upon for the circumstances that she has put herself in, she has married 5 men, and she's with one that's not her husband. This is not a good thing, especially in this culture. All right? Do you understand her whole persona in this moment that she realized what Jesus was saying to her? She wasn't bound by it anymore. And you know what the evidence is? She couldn't wait to run back to town and tell everybody about her encounter with Jesus. Let me explain. Before, she was coming up to the well at what time? Noon. Hottest period of the day. Nobody else was ever going to be there. Do you understand? She was doing this because she didn't want to be around people, because she had a reputation, and the reputation followed her, and she knows that she was going to be treated bad everywhere she went. This is just how it was for her. Then she realized she's loved by who? God. God loves her. That she had a chance encounter in her mind, but no, not this was a purposeful encounter by Jesus. That sat down and changed her life, and she goes, I don't care what I am, because I know who I am with him. And she went back to this town and told everybody about her encounter. And you know what started to happen? Jesus stuck around, and she brought them to him, and this town had a revival. And people believed and called him the Messiah. They recognized him for who he was because this woman had a connection with Jesus. Now, think about what this means for us. Have you had a connection with Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is in your life? And if so, who's the Samaritan woman in your life that you need to start having coffee with, dinner with? Because you were called to show that there is stuff out here that they will never thirst again, that their life will be whole with Jesus, and that there's this gift. And guess what will happen? That when they realize the gift, people will start to like just be changed by glory of God. Imagine this scenario here in Springfield. And the watering hole is not a well, but a bar. And Jesus sat down with somebody that drinks their sorrows away and changes a life. And all of a sudden, a whole community sees a life changed and wants that instead of wallowing in what they've not seen their entire life. That's the go. That's the go. We are called to connect with people. We are called to be purposeful with people. We are called to be what Jesus just did at the well. To be intentional with our relationships for Jesus. So this is the call this week, church. And I want you to take this serious. We're going to be talking about connect for the next 3 weeks. And how do we connect? How do we move forward with Jesus? And we'll be talking about moments that Jesus has connected with people that are just, nobody wants to connect with them. And if Jesus is willing to connect with them, which he's perfect and he's clean and he's holy, guess what you are called to do? We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. Where he's at, where should we be at? Think about that. I want you to be praying about the name that God needs to put on your heart. I want you to be thinking about who you need to connect with Jesus, and give the living water that he has to provide. It's easy to put up these walls and go, okay, man, they do this, they do this, they do this, they're horrible people. Imagine if we have the same eyes that Jesus has and we go, man, they are missing it and they could be used by God and they could be changed by God and they just need to know the message of God. How about I bring it to them? How about I sit down and have coffee with them and hear their story? Let them know they're not in this story alone. And I will tell you, we are not Jesus, right? Like, We don't have the words half the time that we need to say. It's scary for us. What if they ask us this? I don't know what to say. That's okay. All right? We have a church family together, and you can come back and ask us and be like, hey, this was asked. What do I say? We have a collective unit here that can help us. But the reality is this, too. This world that we live in needs us to be invested in them. Sacrifice for them. Go the extra mile for them because they're calling for it. And if we read Scripture, Jesus is pretty point on and he says, go. Right? So church, this is your challenge this week. To be thinking about who you need to connect with. Who you need to share the living water with. And the first thing I would tell you to do is to be praying. To seek God out. To know that God needs to move in this relationship. To be praying that God is already building that foundation. To be praying that God is already starting to work and tear down the walls in this person's life. That you are just there. And all of a sudden, the moment you just say something, it just tips it over. And you're like, I just needed to know that somebody loved me. Because we live in a very isolated world. We live in a world that is very centric in our own selfish desires. The moment that you say, hey, I'm here for you, the moment you say and you truly believe it, and they truly believe it, and you step up and do it, guess what starts to happen? God works. Lives are transformed. And I'm not just saying one life. Lives are transformed. Because we said yes to what God has put in our life. You are called to go and connect. Stand with me, church. Simple word, two words, therefore go. Can you repeat it after me? Therefore go. Would I ask for you to make this part of your thought process this week and find somebody that God, oh, I forgot about, I did pray for it. I did pray for offering. I just meant, oh, man, thank you, Larry. Oh, ooh. All right, this is what we'll do different, too. As you therefore go, make sure you find an usher and give your offering, because we did pray for that this morning, right? Woo! All right, I'm sweating now. All right. God has called you to connect, and he's put on your heart to therefore go find that person to connect with, okay? All right, so pray about it this week. Let's pray, and please give at the offering plates as you go. All right, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all that you have provided. Thank you for putting people in our lives that we are called to minister to, that we are called to love, that we are called to be your hands and feet. I pray for the encounters at the well this week. I pray that we are praying that we have the words to say, the actions to show, that we care for those who don't know you, that question you, that doubt you, but more importantly, need you. Lord, I pray that we provide the living water for them. I pray that we are your servants and that we submit to you. Take this offering and may we use it for your honor. May we give out of joy. Lord, provide. May we trust you with it. Amen. You're dismissed.